Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That's in 1 Timothy 4 and 1. 2 Corinthians 11, 14. No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed also, or transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Revelations 12. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. I told you, as I prayed, as Brother John called us and told us, asked us, have you heard about Brother Ralph? And I had. And he said, we want you to come and take his place, preach the morning service. He's going to call me. The Lord has done been dealing with me. And I told the Lord I can't take Ralph's place, and he said, you're not going to. You're not going as Ralph Cox, you're going as Leon Buzzard. So I said, Lord, what shall I preach? Okay. And the Lord said, I want you to preach four sermons from the same text. I'm seeing a church world that's been given the gospel and can quote the word of God and knows a lot more about it than it seems others do, but I'm seeing a church world that's been carried away with doctrines of the devil. Yesterday we preached to you from chapter 3 of Genesis. We're going there again this morning. Amen. And the Bible tells us now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, as God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. The serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. I told you yesterday there was two things in this. Yesterday we preached that the devil's doctrine is that God does not mean what he said. This morning, amen, his doctrine that I want to teach about, he's teaching to the church, is that you are being shortchanged. You are being cheated. Huh? You're being cheated. God doesn't know that he said. God doesn't know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God's, knowing good and evil. You're being short. The devil wants man to believe that what God has forbidden him to indulge in is not bad for him, that in fact his life will be enhanced if he will partake of sin. Hogwash. I said hogwash. The devil's a liar. The devil is telling the church world today that what holiness preachers are preaching about and against, amen, is no more than just their own ideas, that the Bible does not mean what it says when it tells you not to sin, and if you did, it wouldn't hurt you. If you did, go ahead and sin. Are we not seeing a church world that's carried away? Huh? When men and women in the same church can divorce and remarry in the church and retain their position in the church. Tell me the church is not carried away with sin. Come on, saints. The Bible said he was a murderer from the beginning. Abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Huh? And this is one of the biggest that he's ever told the church. And he's got a bunch of wimps going around the country that are afraid to stand for anything and against anything. Huh? Come on! Going about professing themselves to be preachers of righteousness and holiness. Yeah. Amen. They're nothing but a bunch of the devil's whips.
Whips. I like it.
Cowards. Yellowbacks. Call them what you want, Brother Ralph. If we ain't got backbone enough to stand against sin, we need to hang our Bible on the wall and forget it. I'm feeling better. I don't know whether you are or not. The Bible said righteousness exalted the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Sin has never set anyone free. Come on. Sin has never enhanced one life. Anywhere. Come on. The Bible said fools make a mock of sin. Come on. I've heard these preachers without any backbone standing and mock about us preachers preaching against sin. Huh? Come on. Listen to the cry of some fools that thought that they could indulge in sin and it would help them. I hear Cain. He says, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Huh? Yeah, Cain, tell us. Come on, Cain, tell us how you got ahead. But Cannon, come on, Cain. Tell us how much your life has been enhanced since you've done what you shouldn't have done. Tell us. Huh? Come on, Cain, testify to us this morning. Huh? Come on, Cain, tell us how your life has been enhanced. Amen. Since you killed your brother and his blood's crying out to God. Tell us how much blessed you're being now. He said, my punishment is more than I can stand. I said, my punishment is more than I can take. Where's the devil now? Huh? Here's Esau. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great, exceeding bitter cry. Said to his father, bless me, even me, also all my father. Hast thou not reserved one, a blessing for me? Come on, Esau. You've despised the birthright. Huh? You went out and married the women that the Lord told you not to marry.
Come on.
Two of them. Just to show that you was your own boss. Huh? Come on here. Just to show the pastor, his daddy. Hey, man, you can't tell me what to do. I'm going to do it anyhow. Huh? And now when it's time to inherit, amen. Come on and tell us how sin has enhanced your life. Huh? You mean there's not a blessing for me? Not even one blessing nowhere? I wish I knew how to cry exactly like he did. Huh? I wish I could. Brother Ralph, I'd cry. Oh! Can you hear him from the tent? No! No! Surely there's one! Surely there's one! Oh, my Father, no! Not me! Not Esau! I'm your favorite! You ain't got nothing for me! Come on, Esau, let's sing a shout now! Huh? Come on, Esau, let's see you have a great time now! Tell me again that it pays to sin, Esau. Tell me again. I can't hear you, Esau. It doesn't sound like you sounded before. What's happened? Amen, to your victory, Esau. The devil will make sin look good and cool and macho, but it won't. It won't. Come with me for a minute to the year 1960 or 61. I'm working in a state hospital at Bonita. And the phone rings. I'm in the admission office or in the admission ward where they first come in. Phone rings. And they said, Frank. My first name's Franklin, so they call Frank. Said, we got a patient down here, and come and get him. Brother Frank Rogers, I get in the elevator, put my key in it, and down I go. Four floors. Brother Ralph, as I near the bottom, I hear some screams.
Come on, tell
him. I think, oh, we've got a live one. And I walk in the admission office, and there's some deputy sheriffs. And they have a man strapped to a gurney, which is a little table that has wheels on it, you know, the one that goes in the ambulance. And they've got a man strapped down, and he's screaming, and he's raising up, and he's twisting, and he's turning, and he's hollering, oh, my God, help me! The hogs is eating me! Ah! Oh! The nurse says, take him upstairs and put him in a padded cell and strap him down. The doctor will be up to see him right away. Say he's in DTs. He's been a drinking. He's 35 years old.
35 years old.
35. Brother Benny and I put him on the elevator. I carry him up. We take him back to the back room. It takes six of us to take him off the gurney, put him in that bed in that padded cell, and strap him down with the leather straps that are that wide and about that thick. The doctor comes and says, go get me sodium amytal, 3.5 grains. 4 grains will knock a horse out. Come on. 4 grains of sodium amytal will knock a horse out. He takes 3.5 grains and screams on. An hour and a half later, the doctor calls and says, has he quieted down? I said, he's just as loud as he was when he come in. Brother Danny Morris, he says, give him 3.5 more. I said, I'm not giving him 3.5 more until you come and sign the orders.
Right.
Come on. I said, I'm not going to kill that man. He came and gave him 3.5 more, and he screamed on. I went off the ship at midnight. He was screaming when I left. Brother Johnny, I come in the next day, opened the door, and I heard him down the hall screaming, the hogs. Won't somebody please help me? Screaming at the top of his lungs. I'm wondering how he's got a voice left. I go in and I look at the orders. And I see where he, after they tried sodium amytal, now they've got him on morphine. He's taking as much morphine as he can take till it stops his heart. I can't give him no more. He's still screaming.
Still screaming.
Still screaming. Huh? For 2 weeks I walk in the door, and for 8 hours every night I hear that man hollering for help. Brother Ralph, in my heart I'm praying, God, won't you help this poor soul? Brother Benny, 2 weeks, almost to the day, maybe a little more. I can't really remember now. I walk in and everything's quiet. Everything's quiet. I walk down and I see that Mr. So-and-so finally quieted down. They said, yeah, he's quieted down forever. We wrapped him in a shroud 2 or 3 hours ago and took him down to the cooler. He's gone. Tell me again that whiskey won't hurt you. Tell me again that alcohol won't cook your brain. I'm not hearing you. I still hear the screams of that poor man hauling the hog. He's eating me. The psychiatrist tells me that man can feel the hogs tearing his flesh.
Right.
I said, how can that be? He never knows about it. He said, I don't know and I don't understand all about it. But what he's hollering, he knows that he feels, and he can feel them tearing the flesh off of his body.
Come on, brother.
Tell me again that a social drink won't hurt nothing.
Come on, brother.
Tell me. Tell me. Let's go to Denver, Colorado, where about 7 or 8 years ago, there's a young lady there who, in her teenage years, was very rebellious, and she took drugs. Angel dust, and I don't know what all. And there, she's decided now she don't want to live that way. She's off drugs. Brother Ralph, she's gotten married. She has a little baby girl who's 7 or 8 months old. During her marriage time, she's had a flashback or two, but it wasn't nothing serious. She just kind of lost consciousness and just kind of blacked out for a little while. Nothing's happened, but she's had one or two. Brother Benny, one morning she wakes up. And when she wakes up, she looks around, there's blood on the walls. She looks at her hands, and there's blood on her hands. And her nightgown is bloody. She jumps up from her bed and runs down to the little nursery where her little 7 or 8 month old daughter crib is at. She walks in and looks in the crib. And there in the crib lies that little baby girl, with her chest cut open with a butcher knife, her heart took out, and a Coke bottle put in. Tell me again it won't hurt. Tell me again you won't reap what you sow. Tell me. Tell me. I'm not hearing you. This old Indian ain't getting a hold of it. Huh? I hear the devil, but I don't believe him.
Yes.
Come on, he's a liar.
Yes.
The father of it.
Yes.
A sin. Amen. Well, damn and doom your soul. You reap what you sow.
Yes.
He'll tell you you won't, but you will.
You will.
You will.
Yes.
Have you ever sat in the courthouse and just listened to things? Have you ever been there when they had a divorce proceeding? As the wife says to the judge, mental cruelty, I just can't live with it. I've watched it on 10 books. I've heard the little daughter, 6, 7 years old, Mommy, don't run Daddy away. Please don't make Daddy leave. Where are you going, Daddy? Don't leave us. Daddy, we still love you. Don't go. Have you ever watched the little girl run up and grab his daddy around the legs? Say, oh, Daddy, don't you love us no more? Where are you going? Tell me again how much fun adultery is. Timmy again. Timmy. Huh? Yeah, God's just keeping you away from that stuff because he knows it's so much fun. Yeah, Timmy again. You know, we preach against television and folks get all incensed and tore up and mad, pouting. I wish they could have been in the court there. I wasn't there, but I read about it, read after it. What do you say to your best friend when you've been keeping their son and your son takes him out in the backyard and ties him, amen, to the clothesline, which I know a lot of us don't even know what that is anymore, but ties him to the clothesline and stacks the firewood around his feet and sets him on fire and lets him die and says, well, I didn't think they did. I watched it on television. They did nothing happen to him.
Come on.
Huh? Come on. How do you explain that to your best friend? My son's burned your son up, but that's all right because we see it on TV. It just, you know.
Yeah, tomorrow he'll be back.
Yeah, he'll be back tomorrow. He is every day. Huh?
Whoa, come on.
I'm glad you let him shout a while, brother. Amen.
Come on, brother. Come on.
Huh? Devilish doctrines that are sweeping our church world, telling the church world, yeah, you can indulge in sin, it won't hurt nothing. Come on, saints of God, you will reap what you sow. The Bible said you would, and you will. I said you will. Oh God. Tell me again how sin makes people happy. Listen to David. And the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept as he went. And thus he said, oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, oh Absalom. My son, my son. Tell me again how sin is going to set me free now this morning. Huh? Somehow, Brother John, this old-fashioned holiness Indian boy.
Come on, buddy.
I ain't getting it.
Oh, God.
I ain't getting it.
Come on, help me.
Huh?
Come on.
I just can't find it, Brother Ralph, to let down the standard in church.
No, sir. No, sir.
Let them get mad.
Yeah.
Hang their lip. But God, God grant that they never have to reap, amen, some of the things that this church world is reaping in this day. And in this hour, I see the church world as King Saul, as he says, God won't hear me.
God,
I can't get a hold of him. Can't nobody tell me what to do. I've lost him. Where is he at? Where is he gone? Tell me again what sin is going to do for you. Amen. And you know, that's bad enough. But I thought about what Saul said to him, or Samuel said to him. Wherefore dost thou then dost ask to me, seeing the Lord has departed from thee and has become thine enemy? Sin? Yeah. You think the preacher's rough? Huh? You think the preacher's rough? You wait till you get God fighting against you. Huh? Wait till you have the Lord as your enemy. The preacher's not your enemy. He's doing his best. The Bible said if one man sin against another, the judge should judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? God becomes your enemy, where will you go?
Where?
What will you do? Huh? Where will you hide? Huh? Is there a place to hide from God? Who can you ask for help? You're getting quiet. That's all right. Listen. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, amen, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Sin may be pleasurable, but just for a season. And as the Indians say, one season does not a year make. Huh? That's right. Short, just a little part of it. Amen. Sowing wild oats may sound fun, but the Bible said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Just as there is a sowing season, there is a reaping season. One time my daddy was told by my grandfather to go out and plant the skips in the cotton field or in the corn field. Y'all know what the skips are, don't you? Huh? Yeah, well, I thought you did. And Dad went out, started sowing the skips. It got hot. And Brother Ralph, he decided after he'd done about a quarter of it down on the back side of the field away from Papa, he said, I've planted this long enough. And on the back side of the field, he dug a hole and emptied the corn bag in a hole. He come back. Papa said, Fallen. That's my daddy's name, Fallen Buzzard. He said, Fallen, have you sowed all that corn? Yes, Papa. I've sowed it all. Can't you hear Saul saying that? I've done everything God told me to do. In just a little while, Daddy said he was sitting at the house reading one day. He loved to read. And all of a sudden he heard Papa from the back side of the field said, Fallen! Come here! Daddy came out the front door and started across the steps. He said, Bring the razor strap! Oh, now you're getting quiet. Mama said to Daddy, what have you done now? I said, I don't know what Papa's found out. He said, now I'm through the cornfield. I went down there, he was. And in that hole where I thought nobody would ever know, nobody would ever see, when I come down there, he was standing there. And I looked at the ground where he was looking, and there was a whole bunch of corn coming up right there. Huh. And Papa said to Fallen, my daddy, he said, it isn't so much that you disobeyed me, you're going to get it for that. But he said, you see, everywhere where you didn't plant, ain't no corn coming up there. We won't have no corn to make cornbread from those plants that you didn't plant. He made Daddy to see. I wish I could make you see this morning. The devil's trying to tell you that it will not hurt nobody else. Huh? Yeah, he's trying to tell you what you do is nobody else's business. I've had him tell me, preacher, it ain't none of your business what I do at home.
Right.
Huh? I said, maybe it ain't. But I feel like it is because I'm the pastor of the church. And come on. But I said, it's your neighbors. I said, have you ever invited your neighbors to church? And I said, they said, yes. And I said, what did they say when you said? They said, oh, we wouldn't be interested in that kind of church.
That's right.
And they said, we know why. And I said, why is that? Because you preach such hard, strict holiness. Come on. Yeah. I said, oh, are you sure of that? I'd like to ask them. Huh? Could it be that they see in your life such a hypocritical life at home? Huh? Could it be possible that they've looked at your life and seen nothing but skips? Oh, God help us. I swear this morning my hand raised to God, Brother Benny. We ain't been together and talked about this meeting one time, have we?
No, we've not been together.
We done been accused, but we ain't. Come on, saints. I had a deacon in church where I pastored at one time. And Brother Johnny, he used to stand in the service and tears running down his cheek, pray for my lost children. They're lost. Well, Brother Johnny, I got to praying and fasting for his lost children. I thought he was really concerned. Then one weekend, he missed church. Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Missed church. Well, I went down to see about him. He said, children come in. And we spent the week over on the lake fishing. You know, he said, we hardly ever see him and we won't have a little fellowship with him. I don't understand that. How is staying out of church give any fellowship? I don't understand that. Huh? I don't understand that, Brother Ralph. How does that? Well, I got to praying about it. And one weekend they came. And Brother Danny, the Lord sent a gully washer. I mean, it rained till they couldn't go fishing. I ain't come to church Saturday night. I knew this there. And Sunday morning they got up and it's still raining. And my deacon said, well, what do you want to do today? It's raining, we can't go fishing. What do you want to do? His son-in-law said to him, why don't we go to church? Sweet Lamb of God. The church they came. They sat on the back row. My deacon sat back there with them. Wish that, you know, I mean, I don't blame him. I'd sit back that far too. I don't remember my text that morning. I wished I could because his son-in-law sat back there and wept and cried the whole service. I tried to get him in the altar and couldn't. He wouldn't come. But Brother Ralph, after church, he said to me, he said, preacher, I wished I lived here. If I lived here, I'd never miss a service.
What about that?
That's the last time I ever seen him. Till I buried his child. His little baby girl died just a week old. That's the last time I seen him. Yet they came once a month, and once a month, a deacon went fishing. Wonder what he'll tell God on Judgment Day. Huh? When God points him to that little patch of corn.
Huh?
Tell me again that sin is going to help you out. I got some scripture here this morning. The Bible said, wherefore doth a living man complain? A man for the punishment of his sins. If you smoke and come down with lung cancer, be happy. Rejoice. Come on here. What have you got to gripe about? What have you got to complain about? You're just reaping what you sowed. Come on. Don't quit me now. I'm almost through. I think I am. I might not be. Huh? What have you got to holler about? What have you got to complain about? You're just reaping what you sowed. Come on, if you're flirting with another man or another woman and you're giving them the eye, and lust overtakes you and sin conceives, and lust conceives, come on. Come on, if she carries you and takes away your house and your children and all your earning, rejoice. You finally got to the reaping day. You ain't got nothing to complain about. You ain't got... I heard Brother Lester Moore telling something. He said they called him once and said, "Brother Lester, we want you to preach the funeral." He said, "The child just about 2 years old. See, drowned. We want you to preach the funeral." I believe the grandmother attended his church, if I remember right. And Brother Lester went and preached that funeral. Oh, I hate to preach funerals. And Brother Lester said that afterwards, when he was standing at the head of the casket, folks was passing by, and there was that little 2-year-old. Said it looked like an angel laying there. Everybody had passed by, and it was time for the family. Oh, Lord. Sometimes it takes the grace and the strength of God to even stand under such grief. Brother Danny, he said, as that mother and that grandmother throwed themselves across that baby in the casket and begin to weep and cry and say, "Why, God, why? Why our baby, why?" Brother Lester said, "I want to say to them, why did you have her out on the lake on a Sunday morning?
Sunday morning.
Why did you have that little girl in Sunday school? Sometime, Brother Anthony, I'd like to ask some folks that have come to me with their problems and their troubles, why, preacher, why is God letting this happen to me? I want to say to them, why?" We've got this modern day where our modern parents feel like that it's wrong to correct our children. I heard what Brother Johnny said. I'm glad he said that. My daddy was a Sunday school superintendent in the Sunday school. And they got on to him for getting on to the children. In fact, he went in the teenage class and grabbed a 17-year-old boy by the ear and took him out in the congregation and set him down by his mother and told him, "You sit right there till you learn
all right
how to behave." And no, it wasn't me. I was afraid. I know he'd do it to me. He might have done more than that. He would have when I got home, I know. And they got on to Daddy and they said, "You are going to tear our Sunday school up." He said, "I'd rather tear it up doing that and let them tear it up what they're doing." you attend your son or your daughter's funeral and they won't open the casket because they've been tore up so bad, don't weep and cry because you let them do their own thing. Huh? What have you got to complain about? They're just doing their own thing. Huh? Come on. I seen a priest by the name of Eli. The Lord sent a man of God to Eli.
Yes, sir, he did.
And said, "Why are you honoring your sons and you're above me?"
Above me.
Huh? That's how God feels about it. When you will not make your children obey, the Lord says, "You're honoring your children above me. You think more of your children than you do me."
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Come on.
You're a preacher, right.
Somebody asked me, said, "Preacher, why are you so hard on your children?" I said, "Because I love the Lord so much." Huh? Come on here. Come on here. So when you're sitting in the funeral home and the funeral director says, "I can't open the casket. I couldn't do nothing about it." You don't want to see him. What are you going to say? You wouldn't restrain him. Huh? You wouldn't rebuke him. You got mad at the preacher. Because he did. Huh?
Right.
Brother Glenn could tell us about a couple who got mad at the preacher. I don't know if you're still there. Because the preacher preached against playing basketball. And his son was a basketball star. Huh? And holiness preachers start getting to the children and they start wanting to live different. The father didn't want them to, so he pulled out of church, went to a church where they could play basketball. And now he's crying because his children are steeped in sin. He wants help. He wants prayer.
Yeah.
Hey, come on, saints. Amen. You think it's going to bring you victory? Amen. When you see them dying, lost, and undone in this world, and you let them go when there's children, come on, you're just reaping a little bit of sin. That's what sin will do. Amen. You ask for it, you're going to get it.
Come on, that's right.
Is that too hard? Just remember who it was that told you that it's going to be so much better than that old-fashioned, too strict holiness bunch.
Uh-huh, remember.
Remember. Remember when that son or daughter stands in your face and tells you how much they hate you. Remember in judgment as that son or daughter points to you and says, "Daddy,
why? Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you help me?"
I have a daughter who is backslid. Tears me up. She prayed in our last camp meeting. I hope it took. Brother Benny. Brother Benny, my friend, reached for her. Brother John, I went to my daughter. I said, "Bonnie, forgive me. Forgive me." She began to cry and said, "What for, Daddy?" I said, "Apparently, I didn't preach it hard enough.
Didn't preach it hard
enough. I didn't get it to you good enough." Brother Benny, she wept and cried. She said, "Oh, Daddy. Oh, Daddy." One thing I can say, it wasn't because of sin in my home.
That's right.
Come on, saints. Let me tell you something. If you perpetuate yourself to be a preacher of the gospel and you do not preach against sin, you are not called of God. You are not a preacher. You are not. I don't care what you say. I don't care how good you can sing and dance and shout. If you do not preach against sin, you are not anointed of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
You do not know nothing about God.
Right.
or the ministry of the Word of God. Come on, I went to a meeting. I had just preached a camp meeting, and I went home, and the little church there was having a revival. There was a Mexican man was preaching a meeting. He couldn't speak English. And Brother Ralph, he was preaching a meeting, and they had a translator. And we went. And that night he said, there's somebody who is resisting the Holy Ghost. And he was supposed to have these eyes that could see, and you could see, yeah, you got to, you know, you're overweight. Oh, yeah. Well, wow. Your feet, buddy. Oh, yeah, well, thank you. Come on, saints. He said there was somebody there was resisting the Holy Ghost. Well, we just preached a camp meeting, and I was sitting at the back. We come in late, and I sat down in the back. And he went on and on. Wouldn't nobody admit it? They was resisting the Holy Ghost. Pretty soon, he pointed me out. Said, is that man in the back there? Said, that's him. They was translating it. And I sat there, and he said, don't resist the Holy Ghost anymore. And I said, now, Lord, I know where I'm at, who I am. I know. I said, I'm going up there just to show the devil that I ain't afraid of him. And I went up there, Brother Benny, and he said, raise your hands. I raised my hands. I said, I went bleeding blood. And they said he stuck his finger in that oil. And when he reached out toward me, Brother Ralph, they said he done almost a double back flip off that platform down on the floor. And I waited, nothing. Yeah. Oh, my eyes, where's he at? I said, where's he at? And they said, he's back underneath that bench over there. My daddy said to me, oh, what do you think? I said, that man's of the devil.
Right.
He said, you need to be careful what you're saying. I mean, he was speaking. I said, I don't care what he's doing. He's of the devil. And daddy said, how do you know? I said, besides the witness of the Spirit of God in here, I said, there's his translator. I said, you know she wears breeches to work in. Right. You know she cuts her hair. Come on. Come on. I said, you know that. God don't need nobody like that. God ain't going to use nobody like that. Come on, if you don't stand against sin, you ain't nothing. You need to get saved. You need to be born again. I said a child of God will stand against sin. Huh? I heard the Son of God saying when He, the Holy Ghost, has come, He will reprove sin. He will reprove sin. I said He reproved sin. If in your ministry you do not reprove sin, you are not anointed, you are not sent, you are not of God, you will not be until you pray through and are born again. And if you once preached against sin and you quit preaching, you backslid.
Ever!
I said, if you want preach it and quit, hey man, you backslid. Right. And you'll die and go to hell. Right. Come on. I had a woman that told some lies and got caught in it, quit the church, and the phone rang one day. She said, the wife, I want to talk to Brother Leon. And Mama said, you're into it. It's Sister So-and-so. And she said, I heard you said that I was going to go to hell. And I said, you are.
Right. I said it.
Beyond the shadow of a doubt. You are. She said, I don't know why you think that.
And I said, did you say so-and-so? Well, I said, did you? Well, did you? If you didn't, I will apologize to you and the church. Come on. She said, well, she knowed I know she said it. She said, yes. I said, have you been back to those people that you told that to? What for? I said, to tell them that you was lying.
You was a liar.
She said, you mean go back to them and tell? Yeah, I said, go back to the very one. Go up and knock on the door. I have lied to you. That did not happen. I was telling a lie. I am a liar.
Right.
Huh? She said, I can't do that. I said, you can't go to heaven either. Huh? Huh? Come on, see. Yeah, I know the devil's telling you it won't make no difference. Just go on. Act like it never happened. Just go on and shout. Go on and sing. Do whatever you want to. It'll be all right. No, it won't. No, it won't. You're going to have to stand somewhere and say, I have lied. Ask the church, forgive me. I have transgressed. I have sinned. I want to be forgiven. And then and only then. It's got to be fixed. Somebody told me once, well, you know, I asked the Lord to forgive me. Huh? I thought about, there's a preacher owed my daddy $50. He got in trouble. His car broke down and he didn't have the money to get it fixed and hadn't needed the car to go to work. And daddy lent him $50 to get his car out of the garage. And for 5 years that man told daddy, I'm going to pay that $50. And daddy just let it go. He thought it was kind of funny. You know, white man having to come to this Indian. Y'all should have never got two Indians to preach one camp meeting, I'll tell you that. And he finally left the church and went somewhere else. And they were the kind of friends that we exchanged Christmas cards with. Every year we get a Christmas card from Brother Mac, and it ain't none of the McDaniels, but we get a Christmas card from Brother Mac, and he's at the P.S. I have not forgot that $50. And finally, Dad and them left California and moved to Oklahoma, and they lost contact with each other some way through the movement. They lost contact. And one day when Daddy was praying, the Lord brought to his mind this preacher that owed him $50. And my daddy said to the Lord, said, well, Lord, I just forgive Mac that $50. Just forget it, Lord. I marked it off the books, Lord. You know that I don't expect him to pay that. And the Lord said, that's fine with me, but what about him? He's still living in condemnation. Huh? And daddy began to pray. He said, Lord, if you'll let him some way get hold of each other. It had been, I think daddy said, 7 or 8 years. And Brother Ralph, one Christmas, a card come in the mail from the Mac. I almost said their name. Merry Christmas. May the Lord bless you. You know, a little P.S. I have not forgot. That $50, I will pay it. And daddy sat down with joy and wrote to Brother Mac, said, Brother Mac, forget it. It's forget it. But God let him know everything got to be right between you and me.
You and me. It's got to be right between you and me. Say it now. Say it again.
Yeah, it's got to be right between you and me. Did he say when you come to the altar, bringing your gift, and there you remember that your brother has ought against you? Leave it on the altar.
Right there.
Go be reconciled to your brother and then. Huh? And then the Bible said if you be standing praying and there you remember that you have ought.
Right, brother.
Go be reconciled. Where do I, how do I get up on this?
Good doctrine.
Ain't no kind of sin going to heaven.
No kind of sin going to heaven.
None. Huh? Come on here. I'm probably holding you too long. Huh? Amen. There's an old song that says, sin will take you farther than you want to go, and sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. Sin will cost you more than you want to pay. Amen. The wages of sin.
It's
death.
Huh?
He don't change wages. Amen. Let me read to you just a little more this morning. The devil told me last night, I said, you better forget that and get on something else. I said, thank you, devil. You just made me feel better about preaching this in the morning. If I ever get through prayed over that message last night, I said, look out, mountain, here we come. I'm up there whether you are or not. I'm feeling good. Amen. Thus saith the Lord unto this people, thus have they loved to wonder. That's not wonder or doubt, but wander. W-A-N-D-E-R. Stray. They have not refrained their feet. Lord, I thought it was you that's supposed to refrain. No, no. No, you. Whew, oh, Lord, help us. I better look out. I'm going to get on something else here. Therefore, the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Then the Lord said unto me, pray not for this people, for their good when they fast, I will not hear their cry. When they offer burnt offerings and an oblation, I will not accept them, but I will consume them by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. This is thy lot, the portion of thy measures from me, saith the Lord, because thou hast forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. Believe me this morning, there's nothing for you or me in sin. Look at all the trouble, look at all the misery, look at all the wretchedness that men suffer in this life. Look at the thirsting, burning, twisting souls that are in the pit already. Huh? Listen to their anguished cries for mercy and for relief, and know this one thing. Sin is to blame for every bit of it. The devil is a liar. I said the devil is a liar. Sin will not enhance your life. The Lord saved me when I was 12 years old. I was 12 in June 1950. December the 22nd of that year, He saved me. In April of the next year, He baptized me with the Holy Ghost and fire and called me to preach the gospel. I come through my teen years. I've done 4 years in the service. The rest of my time has been spent preaching the gospel. I do not regret. I do not long. I do not feel like I have been cheated. I do not miss. There's nothing in sin that I have ever seen that ever made me want any part of it. Nowhere. The devil has told me more than once, you don't know what you missed. I said, you're wrong. I do know what I missed. And I thank God that I have missed it. I thank God that I missed it.
Amen. Amen.